This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Well, we want to congratulate Kevin Crehan from Brick, New Jersey. He won a JBL Party Box speaker in our Super Box Bonanza. So there you have it. We ended the last hour by telling you about the Mets signing Jeff McNeil, 4-year, $50 million, could go to 5-year, $63. I think it's a smart deal for the Mets. Also, if you decide, all right, you don't want him anymore, he's eminently tradable at that number anyway, so good deal for them. And then we went on and we talked about Alonso. Now, Alonso is a marketable player. He's had the most home runs by a rookie in the history of baseball with 53. He's followed that up with good seasons, and he's a homegrown player. Now, do you sign him now, or do you let it percolate a little bit and see if he puts even bigger numbers up? Because this isn't like the Wilpons owning the team, Don.
Right.
Because if he exceeds expectations like Aaron Judge did, well, the Yankees have the money that they signed Aaron Judge 9 years, $360. And if Alonso continues to be Alonso and continues to ascend, then you pay him what he's worth. But if you sign him now, Don, let's say you give him $30 million a year, and you're buying out some arbitration years, so it's also guarding him against any injury. The way the Mets are with their salary structure, if you pay him 30, Don, it costs Steve Cohen 60. He's at 100% tax rate right now. Does that matter to him? I don't know. I can't get inside his head. It seems like it doesn't.
So what do you just – you do what you can, but if he wants to bet on himself, let him.
Let him. I mean, worked out, like you said the other day, Yankees are thrilled that Judge hit 62 homers.
They benefit from that. You know, so if he goes out there and wants to show the Mets and goes out there and hits 65 home runs or whatever, all right, fine. I don't think Cohen would blink.
Nope.
Again, I don't think he cares. I think the baseball people care about the tax and all that. But I think the Mets and Cohen would be thrilled if they end up having to pay more in money because he had that kind of a year. And it's time, you know. We joke with the Ed Cranepool rant, but honestly, Michael, he's got a chance to be the greatest Met or one greatest everyday Met of all time.
Homegrown.
Well, but no, but if he stays here,
right?
You know, yeah, that's what. Yeah, homegrown. Because like David Wright was great. David Wright's probably the greatest everyday Met that like spent his whole career with
right.
the Mets.
Darryl was a great player, yeah. but
Darryl was a great player.
Issues.
Keith, Gary, all that. But we're talking about drafting a guy, having him come up from your system. Right now, the only one in the conversation right now is Ed Cranepool and David Wright, okay? And maybe if you want to say Reyes, even though he went on after his career was over. But, you know, and I don't know if that means anything to Pete, but I think it means a lot to Met fans to have a guy that maybe can spend, you know, have a 15-17-year career and break every record and be a part of something really special. Because all the great Mets, Michael, they're pitchers. And none of them got a chance to spend their whole career here. That was the crux of the Ed Cranepool rant. So Pete Alonso has a chance to be that forever Met. And it seems like Peter, when we kid around about him, you know, being a little awkward, whatever, he does, in all honesty, every Met fan loves him. And I think it would mean something to him if he could be that Met.
Yeah, and I mean, honestly, the only thing I could think about is what a heel turn it would be. Held them up for money. Like, it would go so, it would be so counter to everything that is Pete Alonso. Like, the brand that he sort of built, guys, you would expect him to be amenable to getting something done soon and for a long time.
Let's go back to the conference championships in football. We've got some interesting notes that we've compiled.
Okay.
I want to get them to you. Some keys for the Eagles 49ers series. Nick Bosa. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
He switches from the left to the right side. 10.5 of his league-leading 18.5 sacks have been as the right defensive end. Now, the Eagles have the right tackle, Lane Johnson, first among all offensive tackles in pass block win rate this season. And then their left tackle is Jordan Mailata. He's 57th among 65, so you might see Bosa lined up over Jordan. Physicality. The 49ers are very physical. Their offense ranks first in yards after contact per game, 96.6. So you hit them, they don't go down. Defense, they only give up 57.8. They attack, and they tackle you, and they don't miss. Now, the Eagles, one thing to look out for them, Very aggressive on fourth down this year. You know, they went down, they went for it on fourth down 29% of the time, and they converted 69% of the time, both fourth highest in the NFL.
And you know what that sounds like, Don?
What's that?
60% of the time, it works every time.
The Eagles scored 100 points on possessions with a successful fourth down try. So when he goes for it, it obviously energizes the team. The most by any team this century. Now the century is only 23 years old. And the other three remaining teams scored a combined 66 points combined on drives with a successful fourth down. Purdy and Hurts, combined age of 47 years, 208 days. Youngest combined age between starting quarterbacks in a conference championship game.
Wow. They combined to being Brady.
A little old.
Holy crap.
By, what, a year and a half? It's crazy.
It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. So that's just some of the things sprinkling in. The weather is not going to be a factor. It's going to be weather in the 50s. And we told you earlier, Yankee manager Aaron Boone has made his pick. 23-14 Eagles.
Well, I also happen to know that another beloved Eagles fan of this from this program, Andrew Gundling, feels very good too. Who knows? Maybe these people are delusional. But Gundling.
Oh, you heard that?
I did.
Well, what happened?
I did. Well, Gundling likes the Eagles.
How do you know?
Feels good. Spoke to him.
You actually called him.
Well, I texted with him.
Hello.
So you didn't speak with him.
Who's this?
This is how the young talk, Michael. This
it's
is how the young
fair.
Communicate.
We're all grown up now.
I would much prefer texting than talking to anybody. You know that.
Yeah, you're a
you
great
this
texter.
Morning.
For a man of your advanced age, you are a great texter.
My entire courtship of Jody Applegate was via text. Because she hates speaking on the phone, so it played into my strength.
Really?
Hates. When you talk to Jody, the first couple words out of her mouth, all right. Talk to you later. She just hates it. Or maybe she's doing something that she doesn't want me to hear.
No, I get that. It depends on my mood, but sometimes I just don't feel like being on the phone.
Every time Don calls me, he knows how I hate being on the phone. Every time, Peter, he calls me and goes, I'm sorry.
Yep.
I'm sorry to bother you. She did not bother me.
There was one time I was in the last time I called him, it was just something I didn't want to get back and forth with long text, and I was in the car, and it was just easier to call him. But I was very apologetic because I know when he sees the phone ring, he doesn't want to be bothered. So
and
right
most
out
of the time,
box,
I sit like a judgmental king in ancient Europe, and I just dismiss the call. I'll just hit refuse. And
you're basically taking your hand. You're flinging your hand. You're saying,
yes, I'm done with this.
Right.
I mean, I'll pick up for bosses and stuff. But somebody who wants to just, like, parry back and forth, witty bone mots, I'm not in the mood for it.
I don't know what that means, but who does that?
Most people that talk want to, like,
no,
BS.
No, no.
I don't have time for BS.
I don't believe you actually even have many friends who call you and do that.
Because they all know that I don't like it. But when they do, I pretty much hit. No. My entire courtship of Jody Applegate was via text.
Right. I don't know if that's a drop, but it's
and one of the one of the first gifts she ever gave me, she saved all the text and she printed them out and put them in a book.
What?
Yeah. There were so many texts and they were so detailed, and I was on the road with the Yankees when we started to like romance each other.
Right.
And so she printed out all the text and she put them in a book.
And
she put him in a book.
Could any of these end up in Penthouse Forum?
Yeah.
I'm very, very cognizant that anything that you text or email can be coming back to haunt you. So I never put anything like that in text.
Really?
Yeah.
So how long?
Oh, if I was there, I would. No. If anything, that's verbal. Never written. There'll be no proof.
What?
You're giving a lot of information right now, but this book, how long is it?
More like a scrapbook sort of thing, maybe like 25 pages.
Okay.
Because Natalie and I are going to come to a crossroads here. We've never deleted our text thread, and it's like 10 gigs. It's killing our cell phones here.
So maybe that's the out and delete it.
That's the way to go.
If that's I even printing it would kill a forest. It's a lot.
No, it seems that way, but in print form, I'm sure it's not that long.
Peter, please tell everybody before we have Mike Tannenbaum on who you met today on the plane.
Oh, what a day! I'm so glad. I don't know if Anthony has any music he can play underneath. If we're not a joke of a radio station, there's at least something in there.
Right.
I got on a plane today.
Notice the silence, which would indicate joke. Go ahead.
And I walked past a man. I went, that looks just like Rev Run of Run DMC. And then I said, that guy's wearing an Adidas track jacket. That is Run from Run DMC.
And here we go. Here we go.
Attaboy. One of the greatest and most important artists in the history of hip-hop and pop music, period. I mean, Run DMC is so iconic. And I happened today, and Don, it was weird because I left the house. You know when you travel, Don, you think about what jacket should I wear because the temperature here is not going to be the temperature
there.
Oh,
yeah.
So you're meeting out in your head, like, what jacket covers me here, but I won't be miserable in San Antonio? And I said, I'm going to go with the Def Jam jacket.
Ah, good choice.
That's amazing.
I went with the same choice today, by the way, when I went shopping today.
Def Jam jacket?
I wore my Def Jam jacket, yeah.
So, obviously, Run DMC, they may be the most associated group with Def Jam. I mean, Run DMC or LL Cool J, Beastie Boys. So, as I'm walking past, I see him notice my jacket, and then he looks, and it says my last name on the jacket. It's a personalized jacket. And he goes, Rosenberg. You've lost a ton of weight.
Oh, that made your day.
Man.
No, and we chatted for a minute, and as I'm walking away, he goes, I really respect the words you, what was it? I really respect your voice on the radio, brother.
Does he mean this show or Hot 97?
No, I thought for a second maybe, but no, I doubt it.
I think he meant Hot. No one respects what I do here. It was, my day was made.
Oh, but
it was
let me bring you back cool. down to earth, okay? So, Rev Run, by the way, what church is he affiliated with?
I don't know currently, but he is a Rev.
Okay. He's sitting in first class. You know, his life's work has earned that.
Absolutely.
So, you get this unbelievable compliment from Rev.
Run.
And then, I call him Rev. And then you slink off in the coach.
That's right.
Did that make you feel?
You know, listen, it was fine. It was too expensive to upgrade.
How much?
I can't. $500.
So yeah. That's the now, price of that Fakakta sweatshirt you wore the other day.
Yeah, but I have that sweatshirt forever. This is 1 4-hour flight to San Antonio. I had an extra. I got more space. I was sitting 10A. I was in the window. I'm fine. Yeah.
But Rev is telling all of his friends right now. Rosenberg's sitting in coach.
Well, it wasn't. But by the way, it wasn't just Run. The entire plane was filled with WWE fans. It was practically.
And they all saw you sitting in coach.
Yeah, exactly. That's the tougher one.
Yeah, that's tougher than Run. I mean, I feel good. I want to be subservient to Run. I'll scamper. I scampered away. But when I went to my seat, I ended up sitting next to these two kids, Case and John. One kid was 13, one was 11, and they lit up when I came there, when I came to the seat, and we talked about wrestling. They were obsessed, and I interviewed them on my podcast, Cheap Heat. That's right. I interviewed two children on a plane today.
Let's go to the phones. Congratulations on a nice morning, Peter.
Thank you.
And of everybody involved with this fine show, right? Everybody.
Yeah.
Now, be honest. Who's the only person this morning that texted to you, have a safe flight?
You're very big on that. It was Michael Kay.
Yeah. Okay.
Didn't even occur to me, Peter, and I don't take that the wrong way. I'm sorry.
I take it no way.
My brother might have been on your flight. I don't know. I didn't text him either.
Well, you know what? I always worry, is this the last time they'll ever hear from me? And I want it to be a positive thing. Let's go to Tom in Long Island. Tom.
Hey, fellas, thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
I'm a huge fan. I've been listening to your KDO program for about 10 years. And I want to disagree with your point about Rodgers being the guy to bring to New York. And for the record, I'm a Giants fan.
Okay.
So I'll give you a few reasons why. One, he wasn't that impressive this past season. It was literally his worst statistical season of his career.
And it would have been one of the best statistical seasons in Jet history as a quarterback.
And he also had a bad thumb.
Well, the Jets and the Bears, that's on them. That's not on anyone else. But still, he's declining, and he's 40 years old. That's my second point. How many 40-year-old quarterbacks have actually won a championship? Only one. The best quarterback in history. So are we going to really rely on that statistical outlier? Number three, the AFC will be a much tougher road to the Super Bowl with the Bills in his own division, the Bengals, the Ravens, if Lamar comes back, the Chiefs. And then lastly...
One second. He doesn't have a choice, Tom, because the Packers said they won't trade him to the NFC. So it's got to be an AFC team.
Oh, no doubt. I'm just saying, this is if I'm the Jets GM, this is what's in my head. And then the last point is looking at the history of recent Super Bowls outside of Brady and Mahomes. I mean, we'll see Mahomes, I think, probably win more than one. But we've seen guys like Stafford and Foles win, too. And I don't think either of those guys are going to the Hall of Fame. I just think the Jets would be better off
with
a younger guy like Carr or Jimmy G. And I know that sounds crazy. They're only going to cost you dollars. And you can use that draft capital. You'd be trading to Green Bay to build up an already pretty good roster. So bottom line, I just don't trust a 40-year-old guy coming off a so-so year who's been more than a distraction in Green Bay. So if Rodgers comes to New York, I see it as a total failure.
Tom, what you're saying is well thought out, but you know, Don kind of answered everything with – the guy had a subpar year after two MVP seasons, had a broken thumb, didn't have a reliable wide receiver that he got adjusted to until, like, the end.
It was well-spoken, but there was a lot of holes in his argument. First of all, why would Joe Douglas say, well, I'm not going to get Aaron Rodgers because we're in a tough division? Like that made no sense. I think that was him just backpedaling, not realizing that they were not going to trade him in the NFC. That has nothing to do with the Jets and why they would want to get him. Also, I mean, you don't plan your way in, Matthew Stafford and Nick Foles won Super Bowls, so I can go with an average quarterback and win a Super Bowl. No, those are the outliers. Plus, Stafford, I think, will go to the Hall of Fame. His career isn't over. He had great stats in Detroit. Just nobody noticed because it was Detroit, and he won a Super Bowl, and I think he'll still give the Rams an excellent chance to kind of get back when he's healthy next year. So don't throw up Matthew Stafford as just some outlier that won a Super Bowl. He was a really good quarterback. You know, so he's going to be 40, but he had a bad thumb. He was not on a very good football team. And if you drop those stats, which I think will be better than last year, but if you, as Michael said, you drop those stats from last year, which was an off year for Rodgers, onto this year's Jets team, they may be playing on Sunday. That's how good the defense was and the weapons around him. So, no, it wasn't well thought out. It was well spoken, not well thought out.
Maybe my comment wasn't well thought out, but it was well spoken.
I agree with the idea that the combination of 40 years old, coming off a year that was at least could be described as a tick down, and being an annoying distraction at times, I can see why that combo isn't where you want to go, but I just don't think you can look past the upside.
See, what I would always do in something like this, because I hear everything that you're saying and I feel the same way. I mentioned this on Monday. You know, he's a nozzle, whatever. You don't know how he would react in New York. I'll bet on greatness any day. And despite all the negative surrounding this guy, he's great. One of the greatest who ever lived. So I'll bet on greatness. Is he a better quarterback than Carr? Would I be upset if they get Carr? No. That's a good pickup. But if you give me an option, Carr for the next 2 years or Rodgers, I think I'm taking Rodgers.
Honestly, the nozzle stuff, listen, it's a bad comparison with Kyrie because the nozzle actually kept him off the court. But when has the nozzle kept him off the field? Like, so if you want to be a nozzle, he might say some things that are cringeworthy. He may not paint the organization maybe the greatest light with some of the things he feels, depending on where you fall on the ledger. But does it cost him going out there and playing games and playing to the best of his ability? No. That's all you care about if you're a general manager, right? So he'll go on a podcast and say something and it'll make headlines. But as long as it doesn't cost his play on the field, does it really matter? I think the organization can absorb that. Packers absorb that.
All right, let's talk some of this with the great Tannenbaum. Mike Tannenbaum will join us in just a moment. We'll have him break down the games, and also we'll dig deeper into the Rodgers situation. It seems like he's on board with bringing Rodgers aboard.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Now, we always have an opportunity on Friday at 4:30 to talk to Mike Tannenbaum. And since Mike and Don are such good close friends, Don, why don't you ask the first question of Mike?
Well, thank you, Michael. I appreciate that. How are you, Mike Tannenbaum? You doing all right?
Good buddy of mine. How are you?
We are doing very well on the show. You know, before we get to the games, the big topic has been Rodgers. A, how realistic is it for the Jets to get him? And B, what do you think the axing price would be to get him?
Yeah, guys, I think it's really hard for a number of reasons. You know, there's a $58 million option, and because of that, you really need this to be a three-party transaction. And look, when we traded for Favre at the Jets a decade ago, we gave up a third-round pick, which we felt was reasonable on a one-year deal. Not ideal, but reasonable. And I just think if you're Green Bay guys, you're going to need at least a first-round pick. And the only way the Jets, or for that matter, any team guys, is going to do that is if they know they have a multi-year commitment from Rodgers, who it just seems is year to year. So because of the money and the dynamic of, you know, how many years is he going to play, like, I don't think Green Bay is going to trade Rodgers for a fourth-round pick.
But aren't they stuck if Rodgers says, I don't want to play here anymore? And it seems like he's making nice with them, Mike, that they might accommodate him where he wants to go.
Right, right. And I think that's all true. I think there's leverage points on all sides, which is, at some point, Mike, Green Bay could say to Rodgers, like, look, we're going to pay you $58 million and you're a Packer, or you could retire. And at some point, you know, I don't care how wealthy you are, $58 million is a lot of money. So certainly he has leverage, but I don't think we can eliminate the fact that the Packers have some leverage here as well. And that's why this is a true three-party transaction. And that's why you would have to get – if I was the Jets, I'd be out in California with him and his agent making sure that I could get at least a two-year commitment, because from there you could solve a lot of problems. You could probably get closer to Green Bay's asking price, and you could probably come up with a structure where you know he'll be there for at least 2 years.
Mike, when you got Favre, right, did you know he was staying for just 1 year and wanted to go to the Vikings, or did you hope that it would be longer?
Well, the way we wrote the trade, and the way, by the way, not to get too technical here, but the league office sees – trade papers as a contract between Team A and Team B. So we initially did it for a third-round contract. There was ways it could increase to a second or first if we had won the Super Bowl, but we had appropriate protections in there, and we just felt like, hey, we're going to go, you know, 1 year at a time here, and, you know, if we get more than 1 year, great. If not, that's okay.
But he didn't tell you this is one and done, Mike. He didn't say that.
No, we were in the beg mode, so we – if we got more than 1 year, it was great, but we were going 1 year at a time. And that was sort of like the way we approached things.
So many people look at that and go, well, why would you want to do the thing that they did with Favre? That was a failure. And correct me if I'm wrong, Mike, you guys were 8-3 while he was healthy. It was going to work. Do you look at that as a failure?
No, not at all. We were the best team in football. We had beaten Tennessee and the Patriots within like 5 days of one another. And you could ask guys like Damian Woody, guys that were there from one team to the next. And we went to the conference championship game the year after. And Brett Favre outplayed Mark Sanchez. And there's countless guys that will tell you that if he was healthy, look, I don't know if we would have won the Super Bowl, but certainly we had a better team that went to the championship game the following year.
Now, maybe I would not be a good general manager to have this thought, but I would think if Aaron Rodgers wanted to come here and play for me, I would think it'd be for more than 1 year, Mike. I mean, why would he want to come here, extend his career by 1 year, and just be done, unless he won the Super Bowl and said, okay, I dropped the mic moment, walk away. I would think if he'd want to play for the Jets that he would play or at least want to play for more than just 1 year.
Yeah, and candidly, the way I would approach it with him is like, look, let's not talk about the next 2 years of your career. Let's talk about the next 50 years of your life. And you guys know this better than I do. You know, just fill in the blank. Derek Jeter, Bill Parcells, Michael Strahan. Like, you went in New York, you walk forever. Phil Simms. And, like, to me, like, if you want to do whatever you want when you're done, like, we'll get you with, you know, the head of the UN. We'll get you with Jamie Dimon, the CEO of J.P. Morgan. We could put you in the biggest, you know, place in the world for whatever you want to do when you're done playing. And I would certainly approach it in a much more transformative way. Look, you want to play football, go to Tennessee. You want to play football, go to Vegas. You want to change your life for the next 50 years, let's have a conversation.
And the better analogy, Mike, might be Mark Messier, just from the standpoint of slaying the dragon, right? You're not winning a championship with a team that's got a ton of them. You're a team that hasn't won in more than 50 years. Like, that's the angle, too. It's not just winning in New York, it's being that guy.
Yeah, and look, you walk forever as a legend.
So let's go to the two games that could turn players into legends this week.
That's right. The
49ers and the Eagles. How do you see this one playing out?
Yeah, I like the 49ers, and I was mostly right last week except for my dumb Giants over Philly prediction, by the way, which I got caught up in a moment. But I was just breaking this game down before, guys. San Francisco plays the highest rate of zone defenses, and why that's so important is you can't play man-to-man against Philly because as soon as you turn your back, Jalen Hurts is going to run. I think because of the speed of Dre Greenlaw and in particular Fred Warner, defensively they're going to hold up. The big X factor is going to be Brock Purdy against that Philadelphia pass rush that has four players who have 11 or more sacks. So I do like San Francisco, which is, you know, atypical of taking a rookie on the road in the championship game, but I think defensively they have what it takes to slow down Philadelphia.
Chiefs-Bengals.
I like the Bengals. I don't think there's any doubt right now that they are playing as good as any team in the NFL. They seem to have Kansas City's number for whatever reason, and I was shocked how well their offensive line held up with three backups in Buffalo. I expect more of the same this week, and look, I think Patrick Mahomes, we all know he's going to play, guys, but, you know, is he going to be 100%? That's hard to say. And right now, Cincinnati is the better football team.
Do you look at Andy Reid as an all-time great coach? Because he's been to the mountaintop so many times, but he's only come down with the trophy once.
Oh, absolutely. Just because I think what he's done, when you think about how he's evolved from Brian Westbrook and Donovan McNabb and, you know, where he started to where he is today, I think that's what the great coaches do. They evolve and change. And I think Andy Reid's going to go down certainly as an all-time great, regardless if he wins one or three more rings from here.
Yeah, so I didn't know how to take Mahomes not being on the injury report. I mean, he can't be 100%, obviously, but how does it work when you don't have him on the injury report? Did that surprise you at all?
Yeah, a little bit. I think it's a little bit like Jalen Hurts and his shoulder. Like, these guys are warriors. Like, they're playing. Like, you would have to pull Patrick Mahomes' leg off. Like, these guys are going to play. The question is going to be is, in the second half and it's 3rd and 8, does he have that burst to get to a first down? Same thing with Jalen Hurts. Like, is he going to be able to make every throw consistently? It sure looked that way last week. But, you know, this time of year, no one's 100%. But I do think the difference between Mahomes and Burrow right now is so small that anything less than 100% from Mahomes could actually, you know, make a difference.
Did you like the hiring of Nathaniel Hackett?
You know, look, he did some good things in Jacksonville and Green Bay. So, yeah, I think there's a lot to like about him. You know, I just think you got to look at, do we have enough experience on that side of the ball? And, look, I know Zach Wilson's going to have competition, but I do want to know that there's going to be more experience to go with Nathaniel Hackett. I can understand why they want to hire him.
Do you, if you were a GM, would you hire an offensive coordinator because of the fact you're trying to attract Aaron Rodgers?
No, no, that would be incredibly short-sighted. And, look, there's a lot that was written about, hey, he got the head coach job in Denver because he's going to bring Rodgers with him. Obviously, that didn't work out. You got to hire him because you think he's going to develop a quarterback, he's going to be a sensible play caller, and he's going to be able to manage his staff. So, you know, right now, I think it could make sense. But, again, I think, you know, unfortunately with the tragedy of what happened with Greg Knapp, you know, they lost some experience last year, and I think that showed up. Whether or not Mike LaFleur turns out to be a good coach, you know, we'll see. But I think when you have a younger coach, pairing him with experience is really important.
You know, we just learned that Tua is still in concussion protocol, Mike. If you're the Dolphins, are you in on Rodgers? Are you looking for a quarterback?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, for 1,000 miles in terms of difference in why, I think Tua and Zach Wilson have actually a lot of similarities from this standpoint, guys. Top 5 picks with massive question marks. And for both teams, I think you have to say, like, hey, we hope we get out a lot out of them in 2023, 2024, but we can't put our eggs in their basket, and that's really important. Like, look, San Francisco, we got to give them credit, right? They have a rookie quarterback coach in Brian Griese. He's probably toiling in complete anonymity with Brock Purdy on a practice field while Trey Lance and Jimmy G are getting all the reps, and that could be the difference, you know, in them getting to the Super Bowl or not. And if I'm the Jets, if I'm Miami, I'm thinking the same thing. I need 3 quarterbacks I could go win with next year.
Are you surprised that LaFleur landed so firmly on his feet after, you know, really failing here with the Jets?
Yeah, you know, and if there's a criticism about the NFL that I think is justified, is this, like, there's a lot of incest in terms of, like, these family trees, and, you know, it's well documented that Matt LaFleur and Sean McVay are very close, going back to their days with the Commanders, working for Kyle's father, Mike, and, you know, did he deserve that job? That's really hard to say. It probably wasn't an equal footing given the relationship there. And when people talk about, you know, giving new people and others opportunity, you could point to the situation and say, based on how he coached last year, did he deserve that job? Now, I will say, I do think it's somewhat of a diminished role because Sean McVay is going to be the play caller.
Right, right.
But you're still getting a great title nonetheless.
All right, so on Sunday from 8 to 11, Mike is on New York Game Day with Mathias Kiwanuka and Anita Marks. And, Mike, I'm just wondering, do you realize what a savant Anita has been this year? Picking, she's 45-18, which is like a Marino 5,000-yard season. I mean, do you look up to her now and say genius when she's talking?
Oh, we hear about the new shoes and the bottles of wine. And believe me, everybody that listens to that show knows exactly where Anita is. Because win or win, she's going to be out there with her picks and letting you know exactly where she is. But, no, she's been great. She puts a lot of time and effort into it. She really works at it, and you know, the proof is in the pudding. And, you know, we try to have a lot of fun and poke fun at one another. And, you know, I wish I could get my friend Don LaGreca to call in once in a while, but nonetheless, we still have a good time.
Tough get.
You know, a lot of people want him, Mike. That's why he's had a lot of friends.
My availability is really rough, but yeah. I could carve out some time for my buddy Mike.
Yeah. Well, Mike, thank you for carving out time for us. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the games. We'll talk to you next Friday.
All right. Sounds great, guys. Thanks.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Let's go to Michael in Hartford. Mike.
Hi, Michael. How's everybody doing?
Good. How are
Donnie?
You?
Good. Actually, Michael, you and I have some mutual friends, two blondies and two Tommies, one of whom passed. But
okay.
That goes way back to when I was attending Bar in Manhattan.
I got you.
Anyway, Donnie keeps talking about how get Rodgers, get Rodgers. That's a great idea. How are you going to fit him under the cap? $31 million. The Jets are over the cap now for next year. Now you're – okay, you could cut Carl Lawson and C.J. Mosley and somebody else. You save $40 million. So $30 million gets taken away. You only have 2.5 offensive linemen if you count Becton. Then what do?
Well, I don't know. You have to – Again, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I know all of how the cap works. We just talked to Mike Tannenbaum, who was a capologist and a general manager, and he didn't say anything about the cap being an issue. So
you can fit any salary into any cap.
You can make it work without having to get rid of your best players. And, you know, Becton is still somebody I think they believe can play the position. So, again, I can't give you an answer on who you cut, who you don't cut, but Michael's right. If you can get a player like that, I'm sure you can do something with the cap that's not going to completely devastate your defense.
Yeah, I wouldn't worry about that, really. Dominic in Brooklyn. Dominic.
Hey, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
I had two quick questions, one for Don, one for Pete. Don, just wondered if you think Gigi's still in the hot seat for the Rangers. Heard so much about him needing to get fired to start the season, so just curious your thoughts there. And Pete, the mage one, will we see you at number 27 in the Royal Rumble tomorrow, eliminating Cody Rhodes to win the whole thing? Your thoughts?
Wow. Go ahead, you start, Peter.
Yes, I want to announce right here, I'm declaring for the 2023 Royal Rumble.
Wow.
I have not been able to yet confirm this with WWE officials, but I am available. I'd like to say I am available.
No, I'm just curious why Gallant would be on the hot seat. They are 16-5-4 in their last 25 games. Over that 25-game period, that's third best in the NHL. They're third place in the division. I'm not exactly sure why you'd be firing your coach the way they're playing. I don't get that vibe. Now, if you want to say Lambert should go in with the Islanders, that might be a conversation. The team hasn't scored a third period goal in 11 games, and they've lost six straight. All right, but explain to me why the Rangers are in a position where they would be wanting to fire their coach. I'm not quite on board with that.
Let's go to Ira in Staten Island.
Hey!
Hey, Michael, how are you? What's happening, boys? So I'm pretty much where Mike T was. I think if Rodgers gives me a commitment for 2 years, I dance with him. It's just I don't trust him. I think Woody wouldn't have a problem writing the check. But you make a move like that, you got to at least get to the Super Bowl. Anything short of that, to me, is a failure. And is this team Aaron Rodgers away from going to the Super Bowl? Right now, I think there's concerns about the head coach. There's still a lot of roster stuff to do that could all be fixed. The thing that scares me about this is if he's going to hold me up and if this deal can't get done to, like, say, late March, mid-April, early May, I can't wait. I got to have an answer now because I think Carr's going elsewhere, and I think Garoppolo is really the only one out there. So if I miss out on those two and then Rodgers sticks me and I can't get him, now all of a sudden I'm stuck with Zach Wilson and have to re-sign Mike White. So
right,
I think that's where the scary part gets in.
I don't think they'd let it drag on. I'm sure they're going to have a limitation of how long they will let him pontificate or just worry about what he's going to do. They can't go on forever. But I want to take you to task on one thing. It would be a failure unless they win the Super Bowl. If they went to the AFC Championship game last year with Aaron Rodgers, it would be a failure?
Yeah. Well, you know what? Considering what they've done, maybe I'll backtrack it. I think you're right. If they get to the championship game and they lose, you know, then it wouldn't be a failure. But this is about winning a championship. This is not about maybe getting to an AFC appearance.
Right, you know, they haven't won a championship in 54 years.
Now, but think about this, Ira. Like, why? I don't know what, you know, like I said, he's fickle. He might want to leave. If they go to the AFC championship game and, say, lose to Kansas City or Cincinnati in the championship, and Aaron Rodgers is healthy, you really think he's just going to retire or walk away? Or do you think he's going to want to try again
to go after that Super Bowl if the team's that good. I think the only way he walks away is if it's an injury plague year and he's like, I don't need this. But do you really think he'd be one and done going that deep in the playoffs?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know the man well enough. I've never met him, so I can't. All I could do is go by stories that he seems a little bit on the flaky side. So I don't know if I'd be willing to take that chance. But listen, Woody's going to write the check. If you could get him here and Douglas could fill in the pieces, I'm all for it. If not, I got to go in a different direction. But I heard you earlier with the number 12. And listen, whether it's an OCD thing, whether it's a superstition thing, if I was Aaron Rodgers, God bless Joe Namath, I'm wearing a different number. I can't wear Joe's number.
I agree with you. And he would do so much positive for his public persona, which is kind of a nozzle, if he deferred to Joe Namath. And said, there's only one number 12 for the Jets.
Don, I'm going to say something here, and it's going to be tough. But I think you can hear through the toughness of this into what I mean. Could there be a less relevant take than Ira on that issue?
But with the guy wanting Joe Flacco to be the starter?
No, not because of that, but because he's literally the mascot for the Jets. Of course he views it that way. I could view it a whole different way, though. Do you really want Aaron Rodgers to mess with his mojo at all? The man's number 12. Let him come in and be number 12.
You said earlier that if he turns it down, it would be a good look.
It would be. It would be a good look. But, I mean, I'm with Don. I'm not going to rake him over the coals if he doesn't do it.
I'll reserve judgment until he does.
People love this. People care about these numbers, man. It's a big deal.
Yeah, you see. Again, I don't know why he's 12. I guess I can do the dive into why. If it's something that's not that important, then maybe he'll do it. But what if it's something – what if 12 really means something to him? And he gets the opportunity to keep it. And like to Peter's point, if he's superstitious about it, why would you want any of his mojo messed up?
I would see, because I like chaos. Like the Jets do the deal, and he has to have number 12. And Joe changed his mind. I said, no way. What would he do? Turn down $58 million? Yeah. Nah, I've changed my mind. That's my number. Sorry. But he won't, because Joe's a mensch.
And I just think the Jet fans are paranoid. Like, he's a flaky guy. Well, listen, he's played for the Packers. He's played at a high level. He's ever not played for them. All of the nozzly things he has said and done has not cost him any games on the field. He's contemplating where he wants to be. If he leaves Green Bay, it's going to be because he doesn't think he's got really a chance to win there, and he's going to want to go someplace where he has a chance to win. And if he chooses the Jets because of their weapons and because of their defense, and they go to the AFC Championship game, you really think he's going to go, yeah, now I'm going to decide to retire? Is that really a thing?
Well, I agree with it. I mean, he is not people in the business that are close in the NFL, they've made themselves look foolish trying to think what this guy's going to say or do. You can't predict what he's going to do.
But the one thing I can predict he's going to do, he's going to play.
Yeah, he'll play.
When he makes it, when he decides, if he goes back to Green Bay, he's going to play 17 games for them in all likelihood, and nothing is going to stop him from trying to, whether it's win an MVP or win a championship. Right? So I think that if he comes to the Jets, even if his motivation is to win an MVP first, which I don't completely believe, you don't think you benefit from that? And you think he's going to walk away after 1 year? So I think the commitment, maybe I'm naive, but do you think he's really going to get that far, Michael?
He could.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.